So my name's Vicki Rushing, and they asked me, I am married, I've been married 11 years, got remarried 11 years ago, but I was a single mom for 18 years. My kids were 3 and 5 when my first husband asked me for a divorce. There was infidelity, and he was on a path towards alcoholism, and so there was stuff related to that. He came out of a really broken alcoholic family, and so just it didn't start good. But I met him when I was a new Christian. I was raised in a church that really didn't teach about being born again. I had an awareness of God, but I had a complete void in my heart. I understood religion and God and that Jesus was the Son of God, but there was an emptiness. So at 15 and a half, a neighbor took me to hear Billy Graham. And the night before, I was in a church parking lot getting drunk. And the next day, I walked from the top of the stadium, and I'm saying the very top, the last row at the top, because I was there kind of with cigarettes and rebellious. And, I mean, he gave a clear presentation of the gospel, and I knew that was what was missing. And so I walked down from the top and at Jack Murphy Stadium is what it was called, and and accepted Christ as my Savior. What happened is the next week I got on a bike and I decided to find a church that was teaching more of whatever this was I was hearing that I had never heard in the church I was in. And I got into, tried 3 different churches, got into a church, but there wasn't a lot of... There's all kinds of Christian churches, and there wasn't a lot of teaching on what I now can look back and say the authority of the believer and who we are in Christ. And so I didn't really have an understanding of, even though I was raised in a good home, I had a lot of insecurity. I had a lot of fear. People didn't know it because I could cover it up really good. This kind of went even as a Christian into my mid-20s when I really started getting set free. Got saved at 15 and a half, but had a very kind of a broken path until about my mid to little bit late 20s. I'm going to be all over the place, hopefully. Met my first husband as a teenager, as a new Christian, and not really having a good grounding in the Word because the church that I was in, it was evangelistic, but there was just not a lot of meat. So I backslid, got into drugs, alcohol, sex, drugs, and rock and roll as a backslidden Christian. Eventually the Lord drew me back, but in that state I met my first husband. And as the relationship progressed, there was a lot of signs of verbal abuse and stuff that would have been triggers if you were a mature Christian that you need to get out of this. But I wasn't a mature Christian, so I didn't get out of it. And I did turn my life back towards the Lord in this relationship, but I didn't understand being unequally yoked. Does everybody know that scripture about, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers? And so I married him. There's a lot more to the story, but I did marry him. He turned to the Lord. I don't recommend missionary dating because people will turn to the Lord because they don't want to lose you. And then they'll turn back to their old ways after they have you. So that's basically what happened is, I didn't have a lot of discernment. So I ended up in a verbally abusive marriage, and I started going to counselors and stuff like that a few years into the marriage. And there were legitimate things that were not good, that were wrong with how he treated me. But basically, through going through a couple counselors, the Lord brought me to a breaking place where he showed me, at this one point, I just went to this church I was going to, and I made an appointment with a pastor on staff, and he was just like a young intern pastor, and he just basically shared some scriptures with me, and I was just at the end of myself and ready to surrender. And the Lord showed me, I've been your Savior, but you haven't made me Lord, and you need to completely surrender your life to me. And so at that point, I was just broken and tired of being depressed and anxious and all of that, and I fully surrendered. And prior to that, it was like, the enemy will make you feel like if you surrender, he's going to send you to Timbuktu and you'll have to be a missionary. Or if you surrender, you'll end up with like a really ugly husband. I don't know the lies that he tells you, you know what I mean? Like he just tells you lies that like, you don't really want to give complete control to him because, you know, you're probably, I don't know, he just, what he told me back then, but I just had this wall. Well, you know, he's a liar. So the on the other side of that full surrender was the peace I'd been looking for and didn't have even as a Christian. And the Bible I'd been reading as a duty occasionally came alive. The next morning I opened it and it was like everything in it was speaking to me. It was just amazing. It was just the start of a real relationship with Christ and of him beginning to break me free of bondages. You know, he told me that I'd been looking to my husband to fulfill me. I'd been looking to things. I got caught up in thinking. I felt really insecure around people. They couldn't tell because I'd dress a certain way and try to present myself a different, certain way. But deep inside, I knew, you know, maybe I'd be talking to Kim, and in my mind, I'd think if I open my mouth, she's going to find out that I'm an idiot and that I don't know what I'm talking about, and that kind of thing. I just had a lot of that kind of stuff going on. So, fast forward a couple years, my ex-husband didn't want to turn to the Lord. He ended up getting in an outside relationship and, you know, just staying out in bars at night and stuff. And I prayed and believed God for my marriage to be restored, was learning about spiritual warfare and who I was in Christ. And so I would stay up, you know, taking authority over those things and fully believe in spiritual warfare. I saw so many breakthroughs in my life, but man does have free will. And he chose to not go God's way. And so the night he asked me for a divorce, I, you know, left the house, went over to a neighbor's who this had just happened to 6 months prior, who was also a Christian. She opened the door and knew immediately. And I left my two young kids with her and I drove up to Mount Soledad. And as I'm driving up there and I get up there, I'm crying out to God, just, you know, crying out to God and saying, you know, this situation. I don't even remember exactly everything I said, but I heard the only time I believe I've heard an audible voice in my life, and it sounded audible, I'm not sure, but it was really loud and clear. And he said, I'm going to give you the desires of your heart. And I believed he was telling me he was going to restore that marriage. I can look back now and see that, you know, he had a free will, he didn't, but 18 years later, 11 years ago, God brought me the godly man that I desired in my heart to have, but I waited 18 years for it. And so I want to encourage you guys to contend, because my title is How to Find Joy, Contentment, and Purpose in Your Season of Singleness. Probably some of you guys, has everybody here been married, or some of you never been married? Okay, some not married, some married. Okay, so does everybody in here want to get married someday? And I mean, no. Some people don't. Yeah, some people don't.
I've been married twice. I don't want to be married.
Yeah, yeah. Some people don't, and some people do. But I will say, if he puts something in your heart and you have a desire to get married, you want to get married in his timing. And Satan will bring a ton of, I don't know, I encourage you to read in Genesis, it talks about when God promises Abraham that he's going to make him the father of many nations. And Abraham waited 25 years for that promise to come to pass. And before it came to pass, he tried to make God's promise come to pass by, you know, giving his, you know the story about Isaac and Ishmael. So for when I first became single, I told the Lord, I never want to learn the hard way again. There's enough hard things to go through in life, and I never want to learn the hard way again. And I'll be single the rest of my life before I'll go through another divorce by the grace of God. And so I did write out a list of what I wanted in a man. I had matured enough in the word to know, like, it's not like I want him to be hot and filthy rich and like all this stuff, stupid stuff when you're young, you know? I wanted a man of God. I wanted a man who was more in love with Jesus than he was in love with me, and then he would treat me right, you know? And still you have little things, but so, you know, I wrote it out and then I buried it and I forgot about it. But when my husband came 11 years ago, he's more than what I asked God for. And we have our little conflicts. We're both strong-willed, but he loves God more than he loves me, and he's a man of God. And I can say more about that. But I would just say you have to contend for God's will in your life. You have to contend for joy. You have to contend for peace and purpose and freedom, because Satan will try to keep you. I battled anxiety when I was really young, and then I began to really learn the Word of God. And something that started to happen is I got into a church that was really taught about who you are in Christ and the authority of the believer. And I started to listen to a guy named Jack Hayford and some different ones that taught meaty stuff and taught, like, this is alive. And I started getting it in my heart. And so God's promises started getting rooted and grounded in my heart. So I started to discern the lies of the enemy. So when this divorce happened, I had some preparation and I knew the love of God and I began to know my identity and believe it. You know, at first I started reading things about, you know, you're chosen, you're blessed, you're predestined, you're an overcomer. And it would just be my head. And I'd like, okay, it's God's word. I believe it. But I had to keep speaking those scriptures over myself until they went from my head into my heart, and they affected my decisions, and they affected my who I really believed I was in Christ. But after my husband left, I went through a process of really like contending, like this is what God's word says, and so I need to stand on His word even when the enemy or circumstances say otherwise. So one example is, one day I was taking a walk, maybe it was a few months or something after, and you know, you go from having like a lot more income, and now that's pulled out. You go from having a man in the house and he's not there anymore. And I was raised in a traditional home. My mom stayed home. You know, I thought I was going to be a traditional wife and stay home. That just got pulled out from under me. I had no college aspirations, and I'm not one. I don't regret it. That wasn't God's plan for me. But I'm walking, and my mind is just barraged this one day, and like any of us can get. And I'm because I'd been putting the word in, the Holy Spirit spoke back to me His word as I'm walking this one day, and He said, "Vicky, are the thoughts that you're thinking right now from Me?" And I started analyzing my thoughts and going, no, I'm feeling condemned. I'm feeling confused. I'm feeling like a lowlife. I'm feeling overwhelmed. None of that is God. And he spoke His word to me. I'm going to have, if you have your Bibles or your phone Bibles, I still like my paper Bible. I prayed Hebrews 4:12. So let's skip. And Christine, she shared the scripture too, but I want to go back into it because it's like the Holy Spirit taught me through 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 what this means and how to do this. Because if we know scriptures but we don't know how to apply them and do them, we're going to stay bound in fear and not walk out what God has for us. So the Holy Spirit, basically, because I was meditating on the word, this scripture was in my heart, and He spoke it back to me, and He had me speak it out, and then He taught me while I was, and so I'm going to read it. It's 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And so the Lord reminded me, your weapons in this warfare, the battlefield of the mind, you guys know Joyce Meyer, she talks about the battlefield of the mind. We're three parts. We're spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. Our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. And most of our battle is in the soul, the mind, will, and emotions. So we can't fight in the physical. We have to fight in the spirit. And our weapons are the word of God, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and worship. And we have to use those. And Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the different things that we gird ourselves up with for battle. And really, all of those things go back to the Word of God, the helmet of salvation. You know, how do we know we have a, we're covered with salvation? Because we accepted Christ as our Savior, so now we're covered with His salvation. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, the Word of God coming out of your mouth. What did Jesus do when He was tempted by the devil? Jesus, the Son of God, in a battle, you know, what did He do to fight the battle? Thus saith the Lord, you know, He spoke the Word of God, and then the enemy shut up after three times. And sometimes, you know, I want to encourage you, because it can feel like I've had, in the last 30 years, there's been, I got major victory over depression and anxiety and fear. And then a few years before I met my husband, it's like the enemy just wham. All of a sudden, I was experiencing almost like it felt like this heaviness that would come over me when I would wake up in the morning, and then like I'd go to work, and then right before I'd get off work, I'd feel just like this heavy cloud of just oppression and like depression. And it was, and I pressed through and I did what I knew to do. I'd go home, I'd start worshiping, I'd speak the word, and it didn't lift right away, but I kept pressing in and I kept saying, you know what? Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And I'm going to not bail on God. I'm going to contend for the faith. I'm not going to go back. I know too much, even if it doesn't lift right away. Well, it began to ease up, and I began to, again, gain victory in that area. And then about maybe 8 years ago, every once in a while, I'd get these like panic attacks and anxiety that would grip me. And the Lord showed me that, you know, Timothy, is it 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Well, the Holy Spirit said to me, Vicki, it's been a spirit of fear that's been afflicting you. And you know, we can, I mean, if you're a new Christian, you're probably going to be like, whoa, okay. But if you've been walking with the Lord and you know that, and if you've ever dealt with depression or anxiety, when the Lord said that to me, I was like, oh, because did Jesus cast out demons? Yes. Mm-hmm. Did He say a spirit of fear? Mm-hmm. So it's a spirit of fear. So when you have the Spirit of God, Satan doesn't like it. And he wants to hinder God's plan for your life or keep you bound in this, because if you're bound by a spirit of fear, you're not going to talk to people about Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. Because what do I have to give them? I'm hopeless too. So the enemy was trying to keep my mouth shut and keep me from God's plans and purposes for my life. And so that day he said, Vicki, a spirit of fear has been afflicting you and you need to take authority over it. I've given you authority and you need to contend until it breaks. And so I went up to my room that day and I said, I'm doing business with you, Lord, and I'm not coming out of my room until this thing breaks. And so I just went to my room. I cried for like 2 hours. I worshiped. I'll show you. I'm like, I take authority over this spirit of fear. I got, you know, I spoke out of my mouth, you know, what Christine was saying. And I command you to go in Jesus' name. And everything else the Holy Spirit brought up into my heart and my mind that was afflicting me, I just said, go in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus is against you. And the Bible says praise stills the avenger. So when you worship, it shuts the mouth of the enemy. So I'd get in God's presence. I'd put the worship music and just let God, you know, speak His truth to me. I'd speak His truth back to Him, and it began to break. And then the Lord reminded me that day, there are several scriptures that talk about a covenant of peace. One of my favorite, I refer to a lot of, there's a lot of scriptures that I'm not getting to because this happens, but Isaiah 54 was my favorite chapter in the Bible during my season of being a single mom. And there were so many scriptures in Isaiah 54 that at different times the Lord highlighted. It talks about the Lord your maker is your husband. God Almighty is His name. Well, if God says He's your husband, I mean, if you're a new Christian, you might go, that's weird. But if you know Him as we're the bride of Christ and He's our husband, and it just, you know, something in me, the loneliness, the need for to be held. And when I said, okay, you're my husband, you're my protector, you're my provider, you're going to provide for all my needs, you're going to provide for my emotional well-being, you're going to fill me with peace. Everything I was looking to a man to do, you're going to do it. And I began to believe His word. Okay, you're my husband, so you're going to take care of my kids and make sure. And He never failed me. never failed me. Malachi 3, I always tithe, but when you become a single parent, that can be more of a step of faith because, you know, so I tried him and I laid everything before him and I said, you said, if I tithe, you're going to open the windows of heaven and pour out. And he did for 18 years. I saw miraculous things with that. I got off track. Okay, so taking our thoughts captive in obedience to Christ, contending, taking authority over what comes against us. I understand your tears. Because we all, even if you haven't gone through anxiety, I don't know, if you live long enough, the enemy will probably attack you in that way. But there's nothing, I want to say, if the enemy has told you you're always going to be like this, you're going to have to take meds. I never went on meds. When I went through the divorce, I took something a couple days to get through a couple days. But for me, and I'm not saying for somebody else, it might not be something that you need to get through. But for me, I said to the Lord, I don't want to become dependent on a drug. If your word is true, then another scripture in Isaiah 54 says, he's given us a covenant of peace. So I said, Lord, if you say you've given me a covenant of peace, a covenant is an unbroken promise. It can't. So if I'm not experiencing peace, and you say I have a covenant of joy, so if I'm not experiencing joy, and I'm not saying that I walk through every day with, no, I'm like everybody else. I have an enemy too. But when I'm really going through it, I come back to him. I get quiet. I get alone. And I go, what's stealing my peace right now? What's going on with these thoughts that my joy is not there? And I will tell you this, after that breakthrough that day, because I came down and I had a breakthrough, and the Lord said, I've given you a covenant of peace, but you're going to have to contend for it because the enemy doesn't like you. And so every morning for about, I want to say about 6 months, because I would wake up and feel heaviness, when my eyes popped open, the Holy Spirit said, I want you to immediately to start worshiping me and thanking me for the covenant of peace. So I would open my eyes and I'd say, Father, I thank you I have a covenant of peace. I thank you that I have a covenant of joy. And I just would open my eyes every morning and I would start confessing that truth. And peace came and joy came and the heaviness left. And then I learned what this scripture in the spiritual war, taking my thoughts captive in obedience to Christ, casting down arguments. So when those thoughts come in, you're a loser. People are going to laugh at you. You're not going to know what to say when those ladies come in. You know, no, I've put the word in. He's going to bring it back to mind. And, you know, whatever it is, you know, I the first time somebody asked me to speak in front of people, I thought, no way, I can't do that. And I told the girl, a friend was getting married, and she asked me to, it's like 25 years ago, she asked me to read a scripture in at her wedding of about 300 people. And my biggest fear was speaking in front of people. And I'm like, no, I can't. And then the Holy Spirit said, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so I just said, okay, I'll do it. And I literally got up there in fear and trembling and obeyed God. And you don't conquer fear unless you do what he asks, what you can't do. And he says you can do, you got to do what he says to do. You know, if it's, I'm asking you to step out and teach kids and you say, I don't have a gift for that. But the Holy Spirit says, teach kids. I want you to teach kids, or, you know, start greeting people or whatever it is. Go to the old folks. I can't do that. Yeah, perfect. Great. Because then you're going to trust in me and I'll work through you. So, Just contending for God's purposes in your life. Let me see. You know, I know another thing is like walking in purity. You know, if you've been walking with the Lord, you know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7:13-20, flee sexual immorality. So, you know, in my first marriage, I did sleep with him before I got married, and I did things the world's way, what seemed right to man. Oh, we love each other. If we love each other, how can it be wrong? That kind of thing. This second marriage, by the grace of God, I stayed pure for 18 years, and we consummated our marriage on our wedding night. It was amazing. Not just the wedding night, but just living under his boundaries and experience. But the Lord taught me, if you're gonna do this, you're not gonna be able to do it in your own strength. And so I don't want anybody here to feel condemned if that's not the way you've been living. But I want to say today can be a new day, and you can start all over and give him your purity and walk in sexual purity. For me, God said, he just told me don't listen to secular music, because for me, I'd hear the lyrics. It would bring me back to my past. It would bring me back to my ex-husband, that was something, and bring images. And I didn't want to go there. I was guarding my mind. So for me, I would only listen to Christian music because it would build me up. I was super guarded on what I would watch, movies and TV. I mean, the Holy Spirit, just what would Jesus do? But years ago when I don't know who's over 55, but there was a whole thing, what would Jesus do? And it's like, would Jesus watch this? And I'm like, no. And is it helping me to stay pure if I watch this scene? No. So I, you know, my kids thought I was legalistic. I'm sure plenty of friends thought I was, but I just knew I was obeying the Lord, guarding my mind, because if I'm going to stay pure, I don't need to be watching this, you know? So, you know, guard what you see. Music to me has a lot of power in it. So what you listen to can bring up memories that you don't want brought up. So, but if you're listening to worship music or music that draws you closer to God and doesn't make you get depressed over what you don't have, you know, so guard that. You know, ministry, every one of you here has something that God has preordained for your life. And you might feel like, I don't know what it is. Well, I didn't either. But the first thing God said to me is your first ministry is to your kids, because, you know, that's a ministry. So take that seriously. Ask the Lord to show you how you minister to your kids, how you train them up in the ways of the Lord. Then the Lord, as my kids grew up, he spoke to me. I got into children's ministry. I didn't think I could do that. And I just obeyed and started helping. And then I got a burden for kids, because I had been such an insecure kid. I wanted to see other kids learn their identity in Christ so that they didn't have to go through all the insecurity I went through. So I was so blessed to speak life into kids. Then I got into women's ministry and a lot of different aspects. But whatever it is the Lord is speaking to you to step out in, don't let the enemy rip it off. And you know what? If you're going to step out, probably right before you step out, I'm not prophesying this over you. No, I wouldn't do that. I say contend and be offensive and take, you know, authority over it before. But, you know, he'll make you feel like you can't do that. What are you doing? You know, or just you'll feel weary or whatever. And it's like, no, I'm pressing through this. I'm going to obey God. I don't care what my feelings say, because my spirit's going to rule, not my soul. Yeah, we're spirit. We live in a body. We have a soul. Spirit, soul, body. Our soul wants to rule. Our mind, will, and emotions want to rule. You got to let your spirit rule. And how's that? What does the Word of God say? So, and probably you guys all know this, but surround yourself with godly friends. You know, I mean, I work in a situation. I work in cosmetics. I don't know if you've walked into cosmetics lately, but it's a lot of opposite everything a Christian, you know. I love women. Makeup is really fun to me, but I'm a people person, and that's how I got into it. But it's me and one other Christian in the department, you know, a lot of men that like to wear makeup and a lot of broken people who need Jesus. And I'm right in the middle of it, and so I get to plant seeds. So, but outside of that, like, surround yourself with godly women, because if you're struggling with a lonely night or several lonely nights, you know, God wants to give you friends. You know, it's not turn back to a man or hit the bar so I can fill this temporary void, but find relationship in the church. I was in church, like, every time the doors open, every time they had an altar call, I was getting prayed for, you know, because I wanted to be free. And so I'm like, I'm letting go of all my pride. I just want to be free. So, anyway, I encourage you to read some of these scriptures. Isaiah 54, meditate on it as a single woman. Ephesians chapter 1, if you've struggled with believing who God says you are, read Ephesians chapter 1 and personalize it. Talks about you're chosen, you're blessed, you're predestined. It's all, like, the whole first part of Ephesians is identity, who you are in Christ. It's addressed to the saints in Ephesus. I know I was raised in a church that called, well, a lot of my beginning Christianity, it was like we were just sinners saved by grace. That's not the truth. Actually, if you read through the New Testament, it's all addressed to the saints in Ephesus, to the saints in Colossae, to the saints in Galatia. So who are the saints? The believers. So you are saints. We're saints. That we sin sometimes. Yes, we sin. But we're saints. If, for me, when I started believing I'm a saint, you don't sin as much because I'm a saint. So why am I going to go do this stuff I used to do since I'm a daughter of God and I'm a saint? So it shifts your thinking when you start thinking about yourself the way God does. So I encourage you, if you've been struggling with like feeling like a loser, like I did, meditate on Ephesians chapter 1. Go through the whole book of Ephesians. It talks about your authority. And just let the Holy Spirit, just meditate slow. Let it sink in. When you read, I'm chosen in Christ, stop for a minute and say, I do this. Because if I'm struggling one day, I'll just stop and I'll go, I'm chosen. It starts making the lies drop off, you know? But you got to get quiet. Say what he says about you. Cast down the lies. Use your weapons. Contend for what he's provided for you. And you know what? I don't know how much longer we have. I think
12:30.
Okay. I wanted to play one song just that we could listen to the words in the song. And then I thought, you know, people are maybe in different places. Maybe some of you guys, you're doing good and you just maybe need to just get alone and say, God, what do you have? What's the next step? Maybe you're struggling. I just want to say after the song, I'm happy to pray with anybody. Or if you're here with a friend, grab your friend, pray with them, and or just let the Lord speak to you. But I just wanted to play this song because I feel like it speaks identity. And anyway.